Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and this is my co-host, Tracy Mahan.
Hello, everyone. Miss Techie.
I was going to say tech savvy, but
you were going with like tech mix or something. Miss Tech Mix.
Tech savvy would not.
Is this also about my fingers?
So tech, Miss Techie.
Miss Techie. And speaking of technology, I did bring my Mercury mug up today for the show. Me, I'm sorry for the things that I say when Mercury is in retrograde.
Oh, so she's apologizing ahead of time, Holly. So,
yeah, sorry, Holly.
So, yes.
The precursor.
Absolutely. And we have on as our special guest tonight. Now, Holly Duckworth is back, our level three practitioner. And she, yes, woohoo!
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we have, because you just came out with your book.
Yes.
Yes. So exciting. Yay.
As I'm sure you know, Julia, it's at this point, it's kind of like more like, oh,
yeah. Well, you just birthed your baby. so it has like
and the last 9 months sucked.
Did you get morning sickness with that one?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we should get you the What to Expect When You're Expecting to Publish book.
A book, right? That'd be a great book.
That would be great. That would be great. Yeah. Because there aren't really many books on that to help you through.
That tells the truth anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh,
they want to make it sound easy so you'll buy their book.
Yeah.
Let's shout out to these little troopers over here in the chat room. Hello, Judy and Margaret and Ethan and Summer. They're coming in so fast I'm losing Vanessa, Tracy, Tack. And Bobby so far, and everybody's like, whoop, whoop, and shutting it out. So, hi, guys. All right. So I want you guys to just ask Holly anything you want, anything. She'll answer anything. She said, there's nothing that is off the board today.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Yeah. So Holly, so tell us, like, what even motivated this? Where is this coming from? Why did you put yourself through this?
Okay. So, right.
Why did you put yourself through this?
Right. Good question. Yeah. So a couple of years after I'd started QHHT, you know, when you start, like you're only doing a few sessions a month or so, you know, you're getting more and more sessions under your belt. Mm-hmm. And it was like a couple of years in and I'm like, well, curiously, lots of clients are asking the same questions over and over again. And then even more curiously, lots of the answers are the same from different clients on those questions. Yeah. And these people don't know each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so this goes on a little ways more. And I'm just getting more and more curious about how consistent the answers were. Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I mean, I had a PhD in psychology and I had to do some what's called qualitative research, which means research where you study words and the patterns in words. And so just flat out of my own curiosity, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to run some of these notes about these answers to these questions through some legit textual analysis. Just for fun. That's how weird I am that I do stuff like that for fun.
For fun.
Well, when you were just first saying that first part, I almost said, I see a pattern here.
So then I did the real analysis and I was even more blown away. I'm like, holy cow, there's so many commonalities and themes in these answers. And so the questions, so there were just a few questions. One of the set of questions, well, as you guys know, in a QHHT session, questions aren't really questions. They're conversation topics, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the groups of questions was about, well, how do I continue to commune with my higher self after today, right? How do I seal the deal on that connection? So there's like a body of questions around that. Second set was, what is my life lesson? Mm-hmm. Everybody asks that. And then the third is, what is my life purpose?
Right? Yep.
Yes. Right. So it's really common QHHT questions. And then I'm just starting to go, wow, okay, the answers to these questions are repeated. And then I do the analysis and I'm like, whoa, okay, there's like serious thematic, you know, understanding to have here. So then I started taking like meticulous notes. So I started data gathering on these. Okay.
That was Holly in action.
Here. I know. I know. You can't wash the engineer out of me. You just can't. And so I get about 500 sessions of data.
Okay. That's a good body of work there. That's a good.
That's a lot.
Good thing I see her with that little monocle on. Like.
But you know, so let's go ahead and get down to like scientific thing, you know, like when they do scientific studies like this, or they do, like, what do they consider a good number to
a be lot in? Less than 500, like 100, right?
Wow.
They had an enormous data set, right? Mm-hmm. Of the answers to these questions. So I run through all of my, you know, just to sound smart, my axial coding and my thematic analysis and all of my grounded theory work, and come out with the themes. And there were a few nuances, but basically three answers around how do I commune with higher self, where to go, what to do, and what to say. There were three themes on what is my life lesson. Three out of 500 sessions.
How many possibilities?
What is my life lesson? And then four on what is my life purpose?
Really? That's it?
That's it. And so I'm sitting back and I'm like, whoa, okay. I hadn't even thought about writing a book, but I mean, I was going to do something with this.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, you know, one of the things, I think I've talked to you guys about this before, you know, it gets, QHHT sessions are so profound. I always feel this tension of, but I'm only changing one life a day, and I'm only changing one life a day, and I'm only changing, you know, I have this feeling of like, wow, you know, everybody needs to know this, not just one person a day, right? So then I'm like, well, maybe I could write this in a way that, communicate this in a way that people who can't get to their QHHT session could understand what I found here, and maybe they can find lesson and purpose and communion before they have their QHHT session. And so that was the intent. It was to take this thing that really blew me away personally and share it in a way that maybe people could find their lesson and their purpose while they're waiting for their QHHT session, or while they're deciding on having a QHHT session. And then that way I could communicate even more broadly than just my clients.
Absolutely. That's really cool. And because, you know, when you first were saying that, it's like, but even the what you're doing with each person each day, you know, it's not just them that you're working with, because whatever happens with them has this effect, has a ripple effect going out after that. So you know that you're touching more people than just that person, but still, I get what you were going for there.
And so now, then even people that read the book can touch 10 people, and those 10 people can touch 10 people. And
Okay. So let's get back to that then, because everybody's always like, how do I make that connection to the SC, or how do I get, like, definitely they want to know, well, how do I keep it? But then if they haven't had one yet, it's like, well, how do I even, what is this? How do I do it? What, you know, what are we talking about?
Right. So the first theme is where, where can you go? And we're talking about just learning to come in contact with higher self, beginning that communion. As you guys know, most clients after a QHHT session, I mean, I don't know, I'm guessing, Julia, that's one of the reasons why Dolores said one and done. But once you've had that visceral, real experience of having the higher self speak to you through you, like, you get it, you know it, you're connected, right?
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Like in mine, it was, I had been hearing or feeling or something, and I didn't know what, you know, I knew it was guidance. I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but then we had the session where she brought the SC in, and it was like, that's what I've been hearing. Exactly. And I felt them. I could almost visualize them, everything. And so I'm like, so that was that connection made. And that's all you have to do is make that connection. And then you got it.
So this is for people that haven't had that experience yet. Okay. Because you don't need anything else after that.
Yeah.
But if you haven't had that ability to have that experience, the where you go, they said repeatedly in nature. I know you guys have heard this, in nature. And there's so many things that happen when you're in nature. I mean, just like the electronic buzzing is gone, you know, all the Wi-Fi routers and pings and electricity that's going on inside the building, that goes away. Think about when you walk outside, how the scale of you and everything else changes. Right? Mm-hmm. How tiny you are in with respect to the sky or the mountain or the ocean or the whatever.
The little specks that we really are.
Yeah.
And so, and even just trees, because I was looking at the trees today. I mean, we are, you know, they're
pretty little. We're little ants.
They're like mini.
We can also get so big.
So there's all these things that happen subconsciously, physiologically, when we're in nature. So where in nature? Second is, what do you do? So now you're in nature. Well, one of the things that they say is to physically, literally touch the earth, like actual skin to dirt or tree or whatever contact.
Okay. Right? I can do the tree. But I know when I was reading in your book and it's like, take your shoes off. Every time I always hear that, take your shoes off, stand. And I was like, okay, if I do that here, I'm going to get ticks. And figures, and I'm going to be very well
integrated, with all the buggies and insects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So touch the earth, and then also being in a relaxed posture, so sitting or reclining, you know, not anything that's physically demanding. So you're literally relaxing your muscles. And then also when you're in nature, the other thing that's important, of course, is to just quiet your mind. And so, you know, things like when you're in nature, you can easily do things like pick out a leaf or a rock or whatever, and just really focus and concentrate on being in the here and now by focusing on one piece of that, of whatever's around you.
Yeah.
And then the last thing about communing with them is you have to ask.
Oh, God. I always love that one.
It's probably the first thing, right?
Ask. Mm-hmm. And so what we understand is, you know, they're always trying to get at us, communicate with us, and we're not listening, right? And so just making some sort of open and overt, you know, intention of, you know, I need you, I want you, you know, please communicate with me, being in that state of intention, then that really opens the floodgates in terms of, and asking for even specific things, you know, I need help with X, you know, I need an answer to Y, which then requires you to do your homework of what you are struggling with, you know, for you to do your formulating of what you do need help with. Because they may not know how to help you because they don't really know. Think about it. They've never been in 3D before. We're in 3D. They don't know what we need in 3D. It's our job to know what we need in 3D. So you got to do a little homework to know what you want to ask for.
And then it also be, they see that bigger picture and they see that you can have anything you want if you just, but they don't realize, oh, on this side, we can't see that.
Right.
We're in the maze, remember?
Why are you afraid of your paycheck? You're in perfect abundance. I don't get it, right? So in nature, relaxed, with intent, with focus, and then setting the intention of receiving. So those are the ways that we begin to practice communing with them.
Yeah, and everybody in the audience do that. Set your intentions to receive.
Yeah, I keep having this visual, and it was actually happening today. I love it when it does it. And I don't know if you remember, I got this from this movie. It's such a simple thing. It's not like you need a movie to give it to you, but sometimes that's what it takes, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the movie Phenomenon?
Yes.
Okay. And in there, and it was actually a big scene at the end, but it was the trees, you know, that they mm-hmm. were, she just kept looking at the trees were swaying, and then, and, or maybe it was him started, and he was swaying with the trees, and at the end, and that's how she was also doing, and that's what I was doing today. It was like, it, there's comfort, and just, you know, yeah. that's like, I can see that, they keep showing that to me, like, when you're in nature, if you will, like you're saying, look at a leaf or something like that, just, if you, that's kind of like becoming one with the nature, yeah. like becoming yeah. one with the trees, you know, you're just swaying with them, you're feeling them, they're just, I mean, they're grand, and they just do this beautiful.
Right. No. And that's also about being in the now, right? Not ruminating on the past or worried about the future. But if they're going to communicate with you, you got to be here, not there or there. Right?
That's an excellent point. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So Holly, do you know a few people in Tennessee?
I do. I know a lot of people in Tennessee.
And say they're lighting it up over here in this chat room. Hello, everyone that Holly knows in Tennessee.
Was this a Tennessee fan club?
Maybe it's my family. I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, cool. I got that impression. So hello, cool. And Brenda are here in the chat room, and any other family members listening that aren't in the chat room. Hello, welcome, welcome. We're all doting on Holly today. Mm-hmm. Let's make that all happen. Okay.
So how do people respond? Okay, so when they get that information, I mean, what have you seen that, because as we know, the SC gives instructions on
right.
all kinds of things, and then it's a right. matter of the person actually
right.
doing it.
Right? And in those, I mean, everything that we just talked about, it sounds so simple, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a, what? Okay, whatever, right? Duh.
I thought this was supposed to be profound.
But how many of us really do that, right? Really do that, really go out into the park or the yard or the forest or the whatever and really focus, you know, and relax on, you know, on that one thing right there and then and now. It sounds simple. It isn't easy.
It takes discipline.
Yeah.
So did they give guidance on that?
Yeah, there's some. There's some in the book. I mean, it goes into like all kinds of details in terms of like specific postures, you know, like having your eyes closed, like we said, like physical contact on the ground, and there's like electrons going in both directions then. And so there's other things that are going on. So yeah, it gets into really detailed specifics in the book about how to then be in nature and how to be relaxed and how to be focused and how to have intentions.
Do you find that curious? I just thought when you said how to be relaxed, do you find it curious that we have to be told how to relax?
No.
It's like,
I think that goes back.
You don't have to tell our dogs, like, not only are they relaxed, but they're like pushing you off the bed, like, give me more room.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also goes back to Julie, what you were just saying, like, they don't know. They don't get it. They look at us and they're like, I don't get it. Why? Can't you relax? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me how to relax.
Right. Hurry up, Holly. Let's get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, I mean, the lesson that comes through there is about being in the now, you know, just it's the standard. It is the standard issue meditation 101. You know, your mind is going to ruminating on the past. It's going to go to worrying about the future, and you just gently bring it back to the present.
Yeah. And you keep doing that until it.
You keep doing it, and you keep doing it.
Yeah, because it's going to keep doing this.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Over there again. Come on.
So you're like, just stay here.
I'm trying to relax.
Although you picked the wrong two people to tell the story to. We're like...
Well, and the other thing that came out too is we don't we're our frenetic stuff that's around us has become so normal. You know,
I mean, I want you to explain what frenetic stuff.
So an easy one is Wi-Fi routers. Mm-hmm. They actually make a noise. Our ears can't hear them.
You pick it up, okay.
But it's like this little da 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 that this electronic vibration that's just constantly going on in the background. We move around like, well, that's just normal, you know. But once you get a few minutes into the forest, you're like, you're subconsciously, your body just isn't like hyped from that da 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 that's always going on that you don't actually hear.
But you feel it, I bet.
Yeah, you feel it. Right.
It makes me think of when all the power goes out, you know, and it's like it just gets super quiet in the house and you're just like,
yeah,
it's so quiet. But if you think about it, you know, and you're not doing anything, it should be quiet.
Well, it's quiet, but it's all, there's a stillness and there's it's a different feeling now that you're saying that. It's like it's a feeling. I know when I go out, because I am in the country, I'm really out in the country, so I just go out of the house and it's like what you're talking about. And now that you're saying that, I'm thinking about that. It's like, you know, it is, you can tell the difference when you, it's not a bad feeling, it's just a different feeling when I step into the house and when I'm from when I've been outside.
Right Yeah. And then we just go about our day normal, you know, our bodies just kind of get used to that and not realizing how it's like just this naggy little thing that our bodies are just dealing with constantly, this frenetic energy. And you get away from it for minutes. And then you know, the higher self is going to speak to you subtly. When you get rid of that frenetic, you can hear the subtle.
Yeah. I like that you said that it speaks subtly, because so many times, because we talk about how we hear it and people expect it to be some, you know, megaphone voice or something. And it's like, it is, it's real. It's like it blends in with other things. And it's just a matter of being, it's really kind of hard to describe it. It is so subtle. But once you understand it and you realize, you recognize it, I mean, then you get it very quickly. Right. I mean, you know when it's there. So it's
right. Right. And it's just hard to hear that subtle when you're, you know, in the middle of the all the electronic stuff that's going on around you that you aren't even aware of what's going on around.
Well, and those things are maybe things that are kind of invisible and maybe not audible to us, but let's put all the other things that are audible and are visible that we have around us and all that constant stuff in addition to the things that are whatever trying to hide. You know, and how many of us surround ourselves with lots of noise and lots of and then wonder why we can't hear anything.
Exactly
Yeah,
so that was how to commune with higher self. Just three things, right? And then life lesson was also just three things. And I mean, there's a few, like there's always a few outliers, you know, like someone's life lesson was something really very specific in terms of some sort of maybe some relationship thing from a karmic standpoint that they're working out with another person. There were occasional answers like that, but the vast majority of them are one of three things. So to learn a way of being, to master the state of being, or to learn about love and truth.
And I think that's mine.
I think I'm working on that one.
And those are kind of like in ascending orders of what you might consider to be like soul growth or whatever. So to learn a state of being, or to learn a way of being, these are things like trust, humility, compassion, empathy, you know, all of these value kinds of things. So we come into the incarnation to learn one of these things. And if I'm going to learn humility, then I have to learn everything about humility.
Yay.
have to learn how to be really nasty, full of myself, egotistical, you know, boaster person. And I have to learn how to be a, you know, a very humble, simple, you know, straightforward person. So I have to learn all the aspects of humility. And so that usually transcends incarnations, right? Mm-hmm. And then we can learn humility by being a pauper, and we can learn humility by being a prince. So we have to kind of learn all those different circumstances. So life lesson isn't about the circumstance. It's about the lesson that the circumstance brings about.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to learn the state of being, okay, is about the, when we say the state of being, it's being, okay? And so then that means, right, an unshakable peace, okay? This the ability to just be in this human incarnation and learning how to do that, right? Hmm. So, of course, if you're going to learn unshakable peace, you're going to have your life rock and roll.
Let's say you might have some shaking around you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You make them sound so simple and then you pull out the teeth.
Yeah.
Simple and sweet.
Oh, yeah. I could do that. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what we say before coming in. Oh, that'll be easy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, I want to do that. I got to do that.
No, that sounds good.
Right. Yeah.
How many lifetimes did you say?
Right, exactly, exactly. And then you can do that in all kinds. You can learn the state of being in all kinds of different circumstances, right? And then in the book, for each of these, I have actual client stories. So, you know, the circumstances that the client came in with, I've disguised all their names and pronouns and all that situations, but bringing forward the circumstances of their life so that you can kind of see how that person, you know, came about with that, how they approached that. Mm. And then the last one, the last life lesson being to learn love and truth, which means, I know, as you guys know, you know, love isn't an emotion, it's an energy. And so it's about exemplifying and bringing and broadcasting the energy of love into this incarnation and being a master of that. And then truth, the lesson of truth is about, you know, understanding and bringing in our interconnectedness, that all is one. And so bringing that truth into a human incarnation. So as an example there, I had a client who, let's see, what was her name, or the name I used in the book anyway, but she came into her session and like a cat on a hot tin roof, like she couldn't sit still. She could barely talk to me in the pre-interview. I mean, I'm like, and I think it to myself, as you guys know, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun getting her into hypnosis, right? Mm-hmm. But she had lived this life of loner. She had never had a relationship, didn't have children, had never had, you know, had lived in, you know, many different places, was always moving and always alone. And we find out in her session that she had never been informed before, ever.
Oh,
she had had lots of incarnations, but this was her first one. And
she was getting used to being in a body.
Exactly. She had never been in a body before. And so what was her life lesson? To learn truth, to learn the truth of oneness. So she had to come here and experience separateness and aloneness and loneliness in order to understand the truth of oneness.
I think a lot of people signed up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a fish can't know water because a fish has never known not water, right? So you got to know the not of what you want to know to really know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. Those three: learn a state of a way of being. Mm-hmm. So things like humility and trust and empathy and whatever. Learn the way of being, which is that unshakable peace, or learn about love and truth. That's it. Like hundreds of sessions of that's it.
Okay, hold your book up again for people just so that they have that.
Yeah. And what's the name of it? Finding Purpose.
Finding Purpose, Surprising Wisdom from the Higher Self. And this crazy, beautiful cover is from Meredith Rose, and she goes by Blue Star Seed. And I have a whole bunch of her paintings in my office, and she's amazing. She's just really amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where would people go to find the book?
Amazon.
Type in
Barnes and Nobles. They can get a link in through my website, awarecaredurango.com, but Amazon's the easiest.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Everybody go to Amazon right now. Well, while you're watching this. Yeah, very cool. So what was your journey really like, getting all of that information and putting the book together? I mean, so many hours had to go into that.
Into the analysis. Yeah. And then it was going back once I found the themes. Of course, I had the notes, but then it was kind of, I wanted to pull in those actual client stories that, you know, kind of exemplified. So it was going back through all my records and finding the best client story that kind of.
Holly, you look like somebody that's probably really organized with all of that. If that hot mess was going on in my house, there would be post-it notes and things stuck up on the wall. And this wall has got this information and that wall's got, and I would just have to be sticking it up there and it would be everywhere. And then I'd be like, where did I put that one key piece?
Whatever works.
I'm just saying, your book sounds like my nightmare. So. But in such a beautiful way, because look what you found with that, with just,
it's just crazy.
Really being so present with each of those sessions and seeing that pattern.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
So. Well, like you said, after a few sessions, you start seeing patterns and it's like,
I know you guys see this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you can almost anticipate what you're in the interview looking at the questions and you're like, oh, I think I know what that answer is. I think I know.
No, I'm not supposed to answer that. I'm supposed to
I know where this is going to go.
Yeah. So your third set of you said the lesson and then it's the purpose.
The purpose. Yeah. So there were four of those.
Oh.
Four themes on what is my life purpose.
Okay.
And so those are purpose as experience. So to have some sort of life experience, purpose as service. So that could be things like healing or awakening or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're on that one.
Yeah. Purpose as love. Okay. So some sort of manifesting love for some sort of purpose. And then the most common by far, like over 50%. Oh. And I know you guys already know what this answer is going to be. My life purpose is to be.
Oh.
To be.
To be.
To be Julia. To be the only Julia that's ever lived. To be the only Tracy that's ever lived. To be the only Holly that's ever lived. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Which means we need to be authentic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. So on the as an experience. So can I share some of the client stories?
Yes.
Okay. Oh yeah. So on the experience side, so the one that came to me was Jennifer in the book. And, you know, like a lot of our clients, she came in with having had a whole lot of traumatic experiences in her life, right? Because a lot of people that are at the soul level maturity to even experience the QHHT session, this ain't kindergarten, right? As Dolores said. And so they're actually ready for those very traumatic and challenging lives. And Jennifer was one of those. And She had been severely abused by prior relationships, and she had formulated, she had healed from all of that. She was healing from all of that. And she had formulated this program to help other abused women in their, on their healing process. And so she had this program and she was working on it. And so, you know, she had lots of questions in her session about the program. Was she doing the right thing in this way or that way? Was there anything that she had missed? Blah, blah, blah. So we'd gone through all that. And I'm usually asking this life purpose question. If it didn't happen organically already, then we're kind of doing it at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And so it turned out that program was her life purpose. That experience of creating that program was her life purpose. And had she not had all of the abuse and the experiences, she wouldn't be able to have empathy for these other women. She wouldn't be able to create an effective program.
And we've heard that so many times. So they needed this to know how to help others. They had to have this experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so then it was almost like a Tetris puzzle, right? Just like everything locked into place for her. If she had had all these experiences, these horrible experiences, for this purpose of bringing this program into the world to help other women. She didn't necessarily need those purposes, those experiences karmically or whatever, but she needed to have the empathy for the women that she was building the program for. So,
wow.
That's life. That's experience. A certain experience is life purpose.
So think that before coming. Okay, so I want to create this facility that will do this and help people. And it's like, okay, fine. This is what's going to happen.
You're going to need to know how to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So then the next one is purpose as service. Okay, so our whole life purpose is service. And the example I used in the book here was a client, Sarah. And this was fascinating. This kind of gets us into what I think is fascinating, which is the concept of time, which doesn't exist. But we find out in the session, Sarah had incarnated for over 5,000 years on Earth. Okay, I don't even know how they didn't
That's
say how many.
Dedication.
Yeah. But this incarnation to help her friend Gary. So this was going to be Gary's first incarnation on Earth.
Okay.
He was going to come early and have all these Earth experiences. So she'd be really polished and it'd be easy for her to be a human and she'd have it all figured out, because her and Gary were, you know, from a different place. And this was going to be Gary's first time. So she devoted 5,000 years on Earth.
Wow.
To be of service to Gary in this one incarnation.
Wow.
And so you think about that. You think about, wow, what a gift of service. Mm-hmm. But then you think, well, there's no such thing as time.
Right. Right.
So what's 5,000 years? Like,
exactly.
Big whoop.
They're always saying it's a drop in the bucket when you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, exactly. But I have seen that. I've seen some people, I mean, you can tell people, it's like some people are very comfortable in their human bodies on this planet. I think, and there's other people that are totally not. And you can see, it's like they come together and it's like the one is helping the other just to understand what life is like here on this planet.
Exactly. Exactly. And so Sarah did this for Gary. Like, whoa. So that's a purpose and a life of service. Okay. An example of one. So then we go into purpose as love. Okay. So the purpose of the whole incarnation is to bring the energy of love, to manifest the energy of love in this time and place and dimension. Okay. And so we're talking about Carly, and Carly's story again was very tragic. Her mother had been a heroin addict. She learned how to fix a bottle for her baby sister when she was 5. Okay. So like really, really challenging childhood. And because of some of this early childhood circumstances, she had always been doing things to help her words, not mine, the broken people. Okay. Wow. She would always attach herself somehow to the broken people to try to help them. But what we find out in her QHHT session was, well, first, she had never experienced love in her life, ever. Okay. Not even from a mother. And all of these people she was helping out of habit. That's all she knew how to do was help broken people because she had been doing it since she was five, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that sometimes happens in QHHT sessions is I'll have the higher self, especially if people have been devoid of love in their life, have them bring the feeling of divine love, like a physical sensation. I ask the higher self, would you please give Carly the physical sensation of divine love, just so she knows what it feels like. You know, she's in hypnosis and it's always like ecstatic and wonderful and, you know, some sort of really intense physical sensation. And they did that for Carly. And so she had felt love for the first time ever. Okay. And then we go on to find out that she's going to be helping people. But before she was helping the broken people, she was just doing it out of habit. That's all she knew how to do. And she wasn't even really bringing them love. She was just bringing them,
you know, what love was.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And so now she's going to go on to help the broken people with love. Right. And then the cutest thing about Carly. So she had this visceral sensation of divine love. She now, like, her whole life would be turned around. She'd be doing the same thing with a completely different energy, right? With the authentic energy of love. And then, so we're sitting and chatting after her session, you know, we're listening to a few snippets, and then she's getting ready to leave the office. And she goes, "And somebody loves me. Somebody loves me. And it's me. I love me."
The best.
Oh, sweet. So incredible. But just an example of how years and years and years and years and years and years of devoid of love. Mm-hmm. And then to have that turning point. Now she really knew love and she would really know how to help people out of love. And it was all coming from her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. So that's a life purpose as love. Okay. And then the last one, of course, is just to be, right? A life purpose of just be you, just be. And the really cool story about this one. So I had, what was her name? Brittany, I think I used in the book. No, I'm sorry. Kelsey. Kelsey was there for her sister. She was actually there for a surrogate session. Okay. And you guys know we do this a lot of times. If people can't come in for a session, we can have a very close family member come in and then do healing. And this, which is really great for children, right? If they have the mother come in and we can do surrogate healing for the son or the daughter. Well, Kelsey was there for healing for Brittany. Brittany had cerebral palsy her entire life. And Kelsey wanted Brittany to not have cerebral palsy.
Sure.
I know you know where this is going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Kelsey tells her that Brittany is having the exact experience of being Brittany that she intends to be, that there is no healing appropriate for Brittany, that the cerebral palsy is exactly what Brittany wanted. And Brittany is being the perfect Brittany through the cerebral palsy because she has a purpose of just being. She literally can't do anything because her intention was to have a life purpose of being.
Have you found that to be the message with a lot of people that have situations that happen autism, cerebral palsy, different things that cause them to really limit their physical abilities?
Exactly. They can't do. They have to be.
You have to shut down. You have to go inward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So that's it. Four life purposes in like almost 500 sessions. Like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So check on that to be that being. It's like, I feel like more, let's talk about that some more because we get so many questions as you do too. It's like about the being, the beingness, you know.
And most people come in with that question, what is my life purpose? Because they want to know, well, what am I doing? Well, two things, I think, that spark that question. One is, I talk about both of these in the book. One is, am I doing it right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is my being right? Am I good?
Yeah.
Right? And like, there's nobody out there judging you, by the way. Yeah. You might be judging you, but nobody else, the entire universe is judging you. And so they want to know, you know, what is my life purpose, to know, am I good? Am I a good person? Which there's no such thing, right?
I like the little face that went with that.
Yeah, that's another one. Those in the interview, you know, internal eye roll. Okay, I know where this is going to go in the session, right? and then the other one, am I good? But what do I need to be doing?
Yes.
Right, I'm missing something. You know, I didn't do a certain part. So what do I need to be doing? Mm-hmm. And I've never had an answer from the higher self be, oh well, you didn't write that letter, or you didn't, you know, pay that bill, or you didn't talk to that person, or you know, any sort of doing. You didn't learn how to play the guitar. Or you were supposed to learn how to play the guitar, right? And it's like, no. Yeah, it's not about the doing. It's about the being.
Yeah. Well, I kept getting like in myself, it's like, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're being authentic and you're doing it with passion. It's what you love to do, because then you're being your true self.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't matter.
No wrong answers. I always get that. No wrong answers. No matter which way you go, you're learning something. But like you said, when you're doing it from that heart space or from that true self.
It's kind of like Carly, right? I mean, she's helping.
Yeah.
A wonderful thing in the world to help her broken people. But she's doing it lovelessly.
Yeah.
Now, how much richer that experience is going to be. She's going to be doing the same thing, but in a completely different energetic space with the love.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to have a profound, greater effect on the people she's helping. But what about the effect it has on her now? Because like you said, it was just being out of habit before.
Yeah.
And now it's so fulfilling.
Right.
You know, and so she keeps compounding the love factor in there. And I'm just seeing that vibrating out, the love.
Exactly. And that was her purpose, you know. So, and that's, that's just the blessing of QHHT, for crying out loud. I mean, my gosh, how profound is this, to get to help people that, it's just crazy. It's just intense.
Okay, so I've got a challenging question in the chat room. You guys up for it?
Yeah.
All right. So Wendy would like to know, what about the negative beings that can be experienced in this life, like murderers? It's a crazy question, but there must be an answer for it. So why are those people here? Why do we experience?
Right. That? Yeah. So you know, I mean, I'll bring it down a little notch, but let's think about Carly's mom. We'll stay on Carly for a while, the heroin addict that couldn't even, that was setting up the circumstance to have the 5-year-old feed the newborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty tragic situation, right? That's kind of up there with the murderer, right? The mom's passed out on the bed, can't feed the newborn. She's heroin addicted.
Robbing her of her childhood.
Exactly. Yeah. But had Carly never had a mother that couldn't show her love, she would not have known not love. And then she would not have really learned love.
Yeah.
Carly had to have a situation of not love to have a life purpose of love. And so her mother could be an ascended master. Her mother could be... Mm-hmm. You know, some grand soul, some old soulmate that agreed to play this horrible villain in Carly's story of a mother that couldn't give her love, a mother that couldn't show her love because Carly needed the lesson of a life purpose of love.
And I love how you're doing this. Situation. I love how you're doing it. It's like they're playing this character, you're pulling it back so the emotions are removed.
Yeah.
So you can really see
I'm going to guess that Carly and her mom, their souls are going to meet on the other side and like high five.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, so good.
You're showing me love. Woohoo. I got it. Yeah.
You know, I made it to the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and if someone came in to learn forgiveness, especially on such a deep level, you know, somebody had to come in to be the murderer, to do the ultimate bad thing that you would have to forgive. So, so very necessary characters in the play.
For a lot of these lessons, a lot of these purposes, there has to be a villain in the story. And in a lot of cases, I know you guys find this in your sessions, in a lot of cases in sessions, we find that those villains are actually family members that really
your very best friends. Probably they are your very best friends.
That has to agree to play this egregious role in this life so that you could learn the lesson or fulfill the purpose that you needed to fulfill.
They're the ones that love you the most. Go figure it out.
Yeah.
They want you to, they want to help you get this, get through this lifetime with what you came to do.
And it's really hard to wrap our head around that, you know, as humans, because we've been just so programmed into this judgment and fear
and into this 3D jungle.
Yeah.
You know, this dimension of this is what it is. And that's what I was like saying. It's that when you pulled back and you're starting now, it's these are characters and these are these roles. And see, that's kind of what you have to do to really truly understand what's going on.
And remember, you asked for all of it. And I mean, capital A, capital L, capital L. You asked for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very important point.
We're at that time.
Yes, we are. So how can, tell everybody where they can get the book, where they can find you, where is all the information you would like to give out right now.
So I'm a level 3 QHHT practitioner in Durango, Colorado. That's the southwest corner of Colorado, not Denver. My website is Aware Care Durango, AwareCareDurango.com. AwareCareDurango.com. You can connect with me there. And then, like we said, the book is Finding Purpose, Surprising Wisdom from the Higher Self. It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. And then you can go to my website, AwareCareDurango.com, and there's a connection there to purchase the book as well.
If you would like a session with Holly, you can also find her on QHHTOfficial.com under Find a Practitioner. Yeah. Julia, how do people become practitioners?
Same website, QHHTOfficial.com. And we have the level 1 QHHT course that you would do. First, it's online. Do it at your own pace, your comfort of your own home. And you'll learn everything you need to know to do these sessions. The other levels are in place to hone your skills and to make sure that you do the sessions like Dolores Cannon did and the way she taught them. So that's as you keep going and you get our stamp of approval. That's what the level 3 program is.
It certainly is.
Yeah. And Tracy, what do you have going on?
What do I have going on? I have workshops going on. So go to my website, tracymahan.com. If you want QHHT, you can find that information there as well. Or you can go to QHHTOfficial.com and find it there. So wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Holly.
That was all right. Thank you.
I love it. And congratulations.
The baby's in the world.
Baby has been birthed. Now she's going to start walking.
On her own.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming and watching. Bye bye.
Thank you all. Bye. Thank you, Holly.